Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let's begin reading with verse 1. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man that was, he had a very unique ministry. You see, when Jesus came and established the church, he first preached a limited commission. He went to the Jew first. You recall a time whenever a woman came to him and asked, just begged for mercy for her daughter's sake. And he said, it's not meet for me to take that which is for the children and give it to the dogs. He was saying, your time has not yet come. But because of her persistence and the great faith that she would have, he blessed her anyway. She said, well, the dogs received the crumbs fall from the children's table. And that showed her great faith. And he went ahead and blessed her. But he went to the Jew first. He had to do it that way. And yet the Lord knew that the Jew would reject him. And so he even set up his apostleship where that they went to the Jew first. And then you have the Apostle Paul, and he was that apostle that was born at a due season, and he was the apostle that was to go to the Gentiles. But Brother Freddie, even before he did that, he would go into, the Bible said he would go into the synagogue, as his custom was, go into the synagogue and preach, and it says, starting with the Jew and also unto the Greek. He first preached to the Jews, and then he would preach to the Greeks as well. But that soon that just kind of it began to overlap, and Peter began to go and preach to the Gentiles and all of that, and all the apostles went and did the same. But there was that time where they had to preach to the Jews first in order to fulfill all righteousness and, you know, things that pertain to the law. But Jesus, you know, he preached that limited commission, and then the others came along and they followed suit. And then there was the great commission that the Lord gave us to go to the world, starting where? Starting in Jerusalem. Start there first. Then you go to Judea and Samaria. Then you go to the uttermost parts of the earth. It always started there with the Jews. So Paul, in preaching to the Gentiles, and then he would go back and he would preach to the Romans, and he would preach to the Jews, and he would preach to the Greeks, and he'd preach to the barbarians. And this question came up. It came up often, but there's a question. And so he just basically, in preaching, asked the question. He said, what advantage hath the Jew? And what profit is there in circumcision? And then he answers that question. He says, much every way. Much every way. Don't fret, because there's an advantage to being a Jew, and there's an advantage to being circumcised. Much every way. He said, but the number one thing, chiefly because it was committed unto you first. It was committed to you, the oracles of God. God gave you His service. He gave that service to you, and yet we know that by and large they rejected the service of the Lord. That they stoned the prophets, and they crucified the Lord. And whenever Pilate spoke to the people about releasing Jesus, he said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. They said, let his blood be on us and upon our children. Boy, if that was not the biggest mistake ever made in the history of mankind, to make that statement, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. I believe we've seen that ever since the Lord, no doubt, ascended back into heaven. We've seen the Jews, no doubt, suffer. But you know, Paul was a master of using the Old Testament to convince the Jews, especially, of the need for the New Testament and to promote the church. The church didn't always exist. It existed when Jesus came. He established His church. And so the Jews, they still had the mindset, we're under the law. We are Abraham's seed. We are to be circumcised. And there was promises made just simply if we were circumcised. And so what advantage is that? He said, much every way, you need to understand God first delivered you the oracles of God. What advantage has the Jew? What advantage is there in circumcision? Much every way. Jews were delivered the oracles of God. They were delivered His service. They had His power and the ability. They demonstrated the power of God. You know, as a church member, I wouldn't understand the power of God like I do today if I didn't have those examples that the Jews first went through. That, you know, as Israel would come through the Red Sea and He would part the Red Sea. I've got that example. They showed a demonstration of power from on high. And how did they get that privilege, you might say? I call it a privilege. I don't know any other word to use. They were born a Jew. And by being born into a Jew, they were born as chosen of God. And yet, they could have walked away from that, Brother Mike. They could have left their country and went to some strange country. We know that Ruth... Naomi, she left her people and her husband did and left, went and joined herself to a strange land. There were some promises given to God's people. She didn't experience that until after her husband died and she come back. Okay? So, to be born a Jew and then to be circumcised and to be faithful to the Lord made you, it made you the promises of God accessible to you. If that makes sense. Lord told Abraham, you have to circumcise those born under your roof. Israel needs to be circumcised. They were given the priesthood. You know, God gave Israel priesthood. He didn't give it to some other country. He didn't give it to some other people. He gave it to them. And He promised them a land. And they're still looking for that. They haven't received it. They received a portion of it at one time. Then they were scattered. But they've never received the full land that the Lord promised them. And that's to be given here in the future. Now, of course, we know the Jews rejected Jesus. And they rejected the church in part. I'm not saying all Jews. I'm saying the country as a whole, the people as a whole, they rejected Jesus. Some of them today, they're still looking for Jesus. That country, the people as a whole, they still look for Jesus. They don't believe Jesus was the one. They're still waiting. And so they rejected Him. They rejected His church. And now we know that Jesus has established His church. And we know the church is special and separate from an exclusively Jewish congregation. So what are you getting at, preacher? I said all that to say this. What advantage hath the church member? And what advantage are they in baptism? I believe that same question could be brought up because somebody could say, well, I got saved. I don't see a need to go to church. I got saved and I don't see a need to be baptized. So I want to ask that question. Well, what advantage if you're saved? No matter what happens, you get to go to glory. If you're saved, once that you are saved, you can't mess that up. So what advantage are there in church membership and what advantage is there in baptism? Much every way. Much every way. The service of God has been handed over to the church. Whenever the Jews, and listen, they're still God's chosen people, and the Lord, we can go back in the Old Testament and find where God married Israel, but He come to a place where she went out and played the harlot. He divorced Israel, and then we'll find out that later on He's going to do what men won't do. He will take her back. So that we get to tribulation time, and some of that's going to be cleared up. But He took the service from them. You could go read over in 1st, 2nd Peter, and you find where that the church is now a peculiar nation, a royal priesthood. You find that where that the Lord took the service and gave it over to the church. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto Him be glory. He receives glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end, amen. The from the moment that the church was started there, that Jesus organized His church, that He receives glory in and through her, and that is going to go throughout all of eternity. He will receive His glory through her. So, some obvious advantages. What advantage hath a church member? What advantage are there in baptism? Some obvious advantages. Brother Alton, we get to come and see a people that the Lord has brought together as one body. We get to experience that. We get to be part of that. When the Bible speaks of the church, He says that she's bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. So we get to experience that we get to be part of something meaningful. I said some obvious things. You know, people that look from the outside, looking in at the church, they see that that is an organization of some kind. And many times there's a longing for just being part of something that's meaningful. And then you get to come to a place like Clear Branch, Brother Mike, and understand you're part of a family. You're the part of the family of God. You come together with brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have mothers that we knew not of, and fathers that we knew not of, and brothers and sisters, and those, listen, an obvious advantage of being a church member, to come to a place where there's those that are willing to pray for us and to pray with us. There's power in prayer. And there's power whenever two agree. There's power when we come together. He said when two or three are gathered in His name, He's in the midst of that, in the midst of them. And so there's great power in that. And that's an obvious benefit, you know, to be able to enjoy fellowship with one another as believers. That is an obvious advantage to being a church member. But the Lord says, we are not to forsake the assembling together with others, as the manner of some is. That the Lord wants us to come together. He wants us to understand a desire to come together as His church. You think about being baptized. The Bible says to be baptized, that is an answer to a clear conscience before the Lord. And that clear conscience is because we are following in obedience to the Lord. You think about the conscience. Most everybody has a conscience. Saved or lost, have a conscience to some degree. I know some people have seared conscience, and it don't seem to work like it should. But everybody kind of has a conscience. But you know, a conscience is really subject to, it's a mind thing. And it's kind of subject to how you were raised. Some people's conscience acts a little different than others, depending on how they were raised. But when the Lord saves us, all of a sudden the conscience is not simply a mind thing. It now becomes a heart thing. Where before we're saved, my conscience is about other people. What's daddy going to think? What's mama going to think? What's the law going to think? But whenever we get saved, all of a sudden that changes to what does God say? And our conscience is then activated by our heart. What's God going to think about this? What does God's Word say about this? And so, to be part of the church, we get to come and hear the words of God and let that convict us and let it lead us. Now, there's some promises that are made to the church that do not apply to every believer. And I said there's some obvious things, and yet there's some things that we might not be completely aware of, and there's some promises that are made simply to the church. Our heavenly bank account, for instance, store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, thieves don't break through and steal. All honor that the Lord receives comes through the church. That doesn't mean sitting on a church bench. That doesn't mean that in order for God to get some honor out of things that I do, that I've got to be in the church house. But to be part of the body. To go out into the world and represent Christ through the body. That's a special thing. You know, there's a promise of a wedding that's been made simply to the church, that she will walk in white. She will be worthy. She will be dressed in righteousness. And that righteousness is the righteousness of saints. She's promised an opportunity to reign with Christ. She has a special place that's prepared for her. Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife. I want us to pay real close attention to the words here. I believe every word of the Bible is inspired. Listen real close. And His wife hath made herself ready. That's a little bit different than we might read in other places when we think about being saved. This says, her wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Look at what her linen is. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So this wedding is going to be the crowning moment of all eternity. And some will be made themselves ready and some will not have made themselves ready. Some will be blessed to attend the reception. He said, right, blessed are those that are called unto the marriage supper. Some are blessed just to be there, just to be there. Those who are the church, what advantage hath the church? What advantage is there in being part of the body? Much every way. What advantage is there in baptism? Well, it makes the promises to the church accessible to us. Timothy said, if you suffer, you shall also reign. If you suffer, you shall also reign. There's those that are saved. They're not willing to walk with the Lord. I know everybody says they're saved that might not be saved, but there's some that are saved. They're just not willing to deny themselves. They're not willing to make any sacrifices. They're not willing to be faithful to the Lord. He says, well, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign. Romans 8 verse 17 says, you know, those that are, if we're children of God, if we're saved, then we're heirs. Plain and simple. If you're saved, regardless of whether you're a church member, regardless if you've ever been baptized, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, then you're an heir of God. And then there's a but. He says, and joint heirs with Christ if you suffer. If you suffer with Him, if you are yoked up with Him, that you're an heir. If you are a child of God, you're an heir, and you are a joint heir with Christ if you suffer with Him. You think about a joint heir. A joint heir, no doubt, is a wife. Look over at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 9. When it's all been said and done, verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Let me stop right there. Look up just a minute. What are you expecting? The angel said, come with me and let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. What do you expect to see? Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city. Israel's promised a land. Church is promised a city. All right? It says, and he carried me away into the spirit, in the spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And then he goes into describing the city and all that. The church was either the city, or the church was reigning with Christ in the city. All right, look at verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The bride is in the city. There's kings of the earth, and there's nations of saved that are bringing glory into it. What advantage has the bride? Much every way. She has labored. Go read Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4. Look at those two. And you find where Christ has a house. And he says, we are his house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing firm until the end. There's an if there. Christ's house. Christ's house is his church. And then you go into chapter 4 and he gives the example of Israel and how that they followed and they fell in the wilderness and all. And then he turns around and he says, we need to take heed to that, and we need to labor so that we can enter into a rest. So the church, no doubt, there's a great advantage. She has labored to enter into a rest. She suffered to be worthy to reign. She's overcome the world through the strength of Jesus Christ. When you think about the righteousness of saints, that's not possible without Christ. We have no righteousness in ourselves. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But if we allow to submit ourselves completely, totally to the Lord as the body of Christ and let Him work through us, then what we are able to do is in His name. Now, She's overcome the world through the strength of Jesus Christ. She wasn't ashamed to identify with Christ. She buried the old man and she walked in newness of life. She was faithful to the end. She kept the confidence, rejoicing firm to the end. I want you to understand this morning, there's great advantage being part of the body of Christ. It wouldn't matter if I was a thumb, or toe, or kneecap, or whatever part of the body the Lord has for me. Even the less comely members have their importance. Don't matter if I'm just here to sit on a pew and be able to pray for my pastor, be able to pray for my church, or whether I'm the one that leads the singing or teaches the Sunday school or stands up and preaches. I think about it, and I could go on and on this morning. I think about Paul, and he had the church wanted to argue about who the better preacher was. He said, what is Paul, and what is Apollos? What are we? We're nothing. One plants, one waters, but it's God that gives the increase. Where's the glory? It wasn't on Paul, and it wasn't on Apollos. The glory was through the church, through Christ Jesus. You pray for me, Wes, first song.